Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode nine of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 14. And we will, of course, be touching on UK versus the world at the end of the show. But first, let me welcome in our fabulous panel that we have back together at last to break down everything from these two episodes. First, we have a man who I hope had a fabulous birthday weekend. He is back. It is Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing?
I did. I had a great birthday weekend. Came back with birthday hair. Still getting used to all of it, but it's been great. It's been a great start of 2022 for me, I must say.
Perfect. You'll love to hear it, especially given the past couple of years. But I don't know if y'all have heard. It's been a little tough, you know. Between pandemic, World War III, like it's fine. Drag Race, so it's okay. And this woman was having a fun weekend as well, partying it up, eating Chex Mix. It is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm very good. I feel like we have a double chanté this week, as neither Oman or myself have been eliminated from the podcast, and how reflective of this episode. So I'm excited to get into it. Fun weekend, but I'm back in the saddle. So let's do it.
Okay. Well, so yes, we have a lot to talk about. First, I want to bring up the announcement that Willow made on Instagram this past week. So Willow talked about essentially also starting to transition and starting some low dose hormone therapy. Now, obviously, we've heard about Willow's kidney condition. And so, you know, there's some complications associated with that. But this season, trans excellence is definitely on the table, because RuPaul could never have imagined that this would be the cast one day. But we're all very happy for Willow and very excited. So I believe that the update for pronouns, she, they, so we will, of course, adjust accordingly.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like, who's next?
RuPaul? I know. I love the memes of Carrie Colby holding the Infinity Gauntlet and it being like all the other queens, like, be like, she only needs one more or two more or something. It's so good.
I mean, when people talk about representation matters, Carrie Colby is that representation.
Gia Gunn and Carrie Colby open.
The doors she's open, truly. Okay, so that aside, we have to get into everything from this episode. So Beth, you mentioned it at the start of the show. No one is eliminated. We have Bosco winning and Georges versus Jasmine. I think a lip sync that a lot of us were talking about for a while, and no one goes home. They're both able to ensure them staying. What do you think? What do you think about this?
I had to watch this last night after I got home from a bachelorette party weekend. And after all the shit I saw on Twitter, I actually thought this was such an underwhelming lip sync chanté for like, you both stay kind of thing. I don't know. I just felt like Georges wiped the floor with Jasmine, even with Jasmine's slow split.
Amon, where do you come down on this?
Yeah, I feel like if I had to choose a winner, I would definitely take Georges. And that's me still trying to discount any bias that I have.
She's your last hope.
I feel like a double chanté for a double chanté to happen. Like, if I were one of the other queens, I'd probably be like, damn, like, not because two queens are still staying in the competition, but because I'd be like, well, damn, I guess there goes the double chanté. Like, if I kill it one week of the lip sync and my opponent is also kills it, I guess we're just screwed. Like, I feel like this is sort of like an underwhelming double chanté. Like, I feel like someone could have gone home here, but I don't know if like Jasmine like completely lost the lip sync either. Uh-huh. So whatever. I guess if you want to keep them both, that's fine. So
I think for me, I would have been fine with them both staying and this being a double save, because I do think that they both are killer performers. And I thought that this was really fun to watch. So high energy, just like visually appealing for me to look at. But it felt like we just had a save 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we have another save and we have the chocolate bar. And I'm just like, Oh, yeah, great.
That chocolate I'm starting to think that that chocolate bar is never going to get used.
Which, like, I think that's the gag we all needed, is that it doesn't actually exist. Like, I'm here for that, actually.
I mean, it's something nice to have for the resume, I guess. Like, you had safety, but you didn't even need it, you know?
Right, like the idol you didn't need to play, you know? Mm-hmm. I was so good socially that I didn't need to play it. Okay, but Beth, do you mean it doesn't exist, like none of them are gold?
Yeah, wouldn't you think that would be the gag? That'd
they
be
just
amazing.
Open them all at the end, it's all chocolate. Like,
they were. You all thought. No, I just, like, I actually don't think that's the case. I think there obviously is one, but as y'all know, I'm team... production's definitely going to rig it. I feel like this was production in RuPaul's way of being like, yeah, Georges and Jasmine don't have it. Because otherwise, why not just like make this the mm-hmm. golden bar week? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that just tells me, like, if anything, it just tells me somebody else has it.
I was trying to do the math to see with the number of episodes, but it kind of depends on how they do the reunion and the finale and how many episodes, because we've had like 14 to 16. So it kind of matters. So I was just like, you know what, whatever. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to try to enjoy the show, even though with that double save, it gave me the feeling of like it's dragging. Right. And I don't want to have that feeling for the season.
Wait, so what number are we on now?
This was episode 9.
Nine. Okay. We get another non-elimination episode, so we can count that as another as 10.
Yeah.
And then you need this finale and the reunion, so that's 13 there.
So I actually wonder if they're not going, like, if there's got to be a week where two queens go home. I feel like it's going to be something like that. Although, right. As we all know, I'm the worst at drag math, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think it makes sense. Like, assuming next week is a regular ass week, right?
Hopefully.
How many queens are left?
Nine.
Eight?
No.
Eight.
Wait, eight.
Yeah.
Because there were the two panels, each of four queens.
So we go down to seven with seemingly four episodes left, two of which would be regular episodes because they're not finale or reunion. Mm-hmm. So you would need to get rid of three queens in order to have a four. So
yeah.
So it looks like we are going to get a double elimination here.
We have to.
That's what I'm saying, though. It like depends on if those does the reunion and the finale count as the two more episodes? You know what I mean?
Or if they count as one?
Right. I don't
they've
know.
Usually been separate for the past. I mean, ever since they went to VH1, they've been separate.
It could be, though, that. Oh my gosh, we're so excited. COVID things have lifted up a little bit. Let's get the Orpheum Theater back and do the reunion as a like part one, like get rid of the lip sync for your like for the crown portion and just go back to old school. I could see them doing something like that.
I wonder
and like, I would love that.
I wonder if like the if they do keep the regular format that they've been going with you know, the lip sync for your life or lip sync for your legacy or whatever the hell in the final four. And the chocolate bar has not yet been used.
Oh,
that shakes shit up for the finale because.
Dude, oh my God. That would be a gag and a half. I would be so actually down for that because that would make, I think, for great TV. Could you imagine? I don't know how logistically it would work, but my jaw would be on the floor.
I feel like what's more likely to happen than that, although that would be freaking amazing, would be RuPaul's like, all right, you're the top five and goes to cut somebody and they have the golden thing. So they literally like there's a top five instead of a four.
This
is a really close race for, you know, this cast. Yeah. Like, I think we can all say we feel like Angie and Willow were probably a little bit ahead of everybody else. But I could see RuPaul's crowned two winners before. A final five is not out of her wheelhouse, mm-hmm. I feel.
Yeah, this is true.
And, you know, Bosco now has another win as well, right? Yep. So that's Angie's got two. Bosco's got two. Everybody else except for Jasmine and Deja have one win. So, yeah, there's not.
Which, I guess, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I don't know what we're going to get, but I'm going to try to be optimistic that we will cut somebody at some point, hopefully next week, and the field will start to get cut down because I did kind of feel that even with, and you know, we can get into this with the main challenge, but the Jasmine Daya storyline has been the same thing over and over and over. And no offense to Jasmine, but I was like, can we cut Jasmine so I don't have to hear about Jasmine talks too much and the queens are harping on it? I'm kind of over that. I'm bored.
I also don't understand. I'm just going to put this back to the lip sync a little bit, okay? Even in the past, when you've had two people who are doing justice to the song and doing well, somebody's still gone home most of the time, right? This was Jasmine's third time in the bottom, and she's been in the bottom pretty much consecutively. Yeah. Like, clearly it is her time to go. Like, I love you, Jasmine. I'm so proud of you. But, girl, get out of my TV screen right now. I don't need you.
She's just one of the only ones giving the producers anything besides Diabetti. Like, Georges is not a DR queen, nor is Deja. I mean, Angie is like the hero. So, of course, you know, she's never really going to be in any danger. Willow there as well. So I feel like there's like no, if you get rid of Jasmine, then there really is hardly any conflict.
Fine, then get rid of Georges this week.
Like, no! Honestly.
Because my point is still stands, right? Like, yes, RuPaul is obsessed with Georges. But what is Georges bringing every single week?
Looks and runway.
Is she?
Is she so cute? She's
adorable. Cute. But I could see adorable at the reunion. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I won't say a bad thing about her.
I know I'm actually harping on this or whatever, but I honestly just don't feel like this was the lip sync that we all built it up to be. And a lot of that has to do with the song that they chose. Once again, it's like, okay, we have two amazing dance queens. Let's have a song that doesn't match their style.
Yeah.
Which I do think that Georges was able to like emotionally in the face do it. Jasmine took the approach as if she was a majorette in a marching band with her face singing the song with animated faces that scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think that Jasmine definitely is, you know, definitely a performer. But I will say that now that we've seen her done it three times at this point, I will say it's a little one note. Yeah. I feel like we've seen everything that we can see from her. And I feel like all the songs have been a little different. You got Sugar Mama, you got this past one, forget the first one. And then most of the lip syncs in the choreography that she gave us were sort of the same. I'm like, right. Where's the variety here, sis? Where's the emotional connection with the song? So, yeah, she definitely could have gone home. But I think they are trying to build up this narrative of these are the two queens, you know, like, and then RuPaul does that thing where he's like, everybody in the back, this is how you lip sync for your life. Like, I would have made the episode at that, because if I were one of the queens in the back, I'd be like, really? I'd be like, okay, girl, put me in the bottom next, then I'll show you.
Remember, this is the same host who said that Deja Sky was a lip sync assassin in the first episode.
That is literally what I was like, we should have known something was up when we found out that Deja Sky was the lip sync assassin of the season, apparently.
Which, by the way, has not been in the bottom two since that first time. So again, but I just kind of like, here's my whole thing too, right? If you're RuPaul, and you're judging, and you're saying, next week I know is going to be Snatch Game. I can't wait to see Jasmine and Georges.
Oh, really? I didn't even think of that.
You have to, as the host who knows what the next challenge is going to be, say, are one of those two going to give a redemption next week? Mm-hmm. And both of them have fallen flat on their face at times in the acting challenges. Jasmine more so than Georges. Georges has, like, throughout, you know, the soap opera challenge a couple of weeks ago, was actually able to bring it. She did a great job, but I just, like, you know, who's going to be able to handle Snatch Game?
Well, maybe it's a strategy to protect their faves. They're like, just in case Angeria or Willow or Bosca screws up in Snatch Game, we need to have someone else we can put in the bottom instead of them.
Hello? You're telling me you can't put Diabetti in the bottom? And that it wouldn't be the most dramatic thing you've ever seen in your entire life?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I keep saying, season after season, like, if you just cast queens that are fantastic and multi-talented in many ways, you cast for competition and not necessarily for, like, who do you think looks a certain way or whatever, you're going to get a good season, because you're going to get fierce competition. And then it's like, who knows who will go home? You just, no one is safe. And I feel like we just cast for storylines and for arcs and for villains and for heroes. And then we get down to stuff like this where you end up like Cornbread gets taken out. Then like Carrie Colby, bless her heart, but she's not really, you know, serving it the way that we thought that she would serve it. And then like what's her face just went so quickly. You're like, damn, I really thought that she was going to be Alyssa Hunter was going to be like a top runner. So now you're all like, you're down to like some good queens. There are some good queens that are left, but are they like the most like entertaining to watch in terms of like drama or anything like that? No. So you screwed yourself trying to like cast for drama. Then all the drama leaves and then you're just sitting there like with Jasmine Kennedy and that's it. Like, it's just like, it's so weird to me. Just cast good queens that are going to be good. And then that'll make you a good season. It will. Yeah. It never fails. If you had like a bunch of people that would be fantastic at Snatch Game, which they could still be. They could still be. We don't know. We'll see next week. Then you can worry about using a double Shantae. Because I do think that this double Shantae wasn't just about like, you know, like the lip sync within itself. I do think that the double Shantae sort of was about the challenge too. Like, both teams did pretty well. One did definitely better. One's mm-hmm. conversation definitely flowed a bit more. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't anybody that did like completely horrible that someone absolutely deserved to go home. So I get double Shantae on that respect, but like now you screwed yourself because like now what if everybody else is good at the Snatch Game? So it's just cast good queens. Don't cast for storylines. Cast good queens and you're going to get a good season.
Well, I think this is a pretty even season for the most part, you know, kind of to Amon's point of, well, this week, you know, it seemed, you know, kind of close. Last week also, you know, there were like maybe one or two queens that like kind of stood out for the wrong reasons. But in general, everybody is able to at least compete on sort of a, you know, accomplish the task level. Is it like, oh my God, above and beyond? Like, maybe not necessarily, but like, they're doing the job, they're doing it well, they're professional. So I, you know, I can't like necessarily complain from that angle because we are getting to know these people. But yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, Amon. Definitely.
I feel like the reason why I'm more frustrated is because this season was flowing even with a couple of like, oh, we know that there's going to be a save coming. It doesn't feel that long. But for whatever reason, the fact that there was a double Shantae of two people who, don't get me wrong, I'm excited to go see them and throw dollar bills at them. Don't get me wrong at that. But aren't necessarily these huge front runners in the competition and didn't give me the like, I don't know, Brooklyn Heights versus Evie Oddly level double Shantae kind of lip sync. Yeah. I just kind of was like, okay, now this is starting to drag. And that's the last thing that you, even though it's a drag show, the last thing you want for your audience to feel is like, oh God, when is this going to be over?
I've seen a couple of the season 13 queens hop in on this talking about, oh, you guys thought our season was long. I was like, no. I'm still not quite on that train yet. Season 13, even if they end up being this, if season 14 and season 13 have the same episode count, season 13 will still be longer in my
head. Season 13 is still going on. Like, we haven't finished our coverage. We just gave up on it.
It was just so long, okay? I don't necessarily feel quite that way yet. I'm starting to feel that way, but I don't feel that way yet for season 14. So we'll see. Jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, I and this was definitely the first episode that I felt that way. Whereas I think I started feeling that much earlier in season 13.
I was feeling it by episode 3 of certain season 13.
Yeah, exactly. So what I need is for someone to go home next week. And then I'm hoping that that will sort of restart, recatalyze this to help me feel like it's not so, oh my God, this is taking forever. I think also in contrast with UK versus the world, which felt like blink and you miss it. Yeah. Like, we're essentially at the finale. So, you know, I think having those two things side by side also really just makes this feel like it's going to be so much longer. So we shall see, but let's actually talk about the main challenge this week. So the challenge that the queens were tasked with was the DragCon panel. So we have seen this before, but I felt like this was a little bit different because we had the two groups of four instead of groups of three. Yeah. And we also had one person that was designated as the moderator of the group that actually had more of a sort of central moderating role than we've seen in the past. So we Willow, because she wins the mini challenge, which we can talk about later, picks Deja, Angeria, and Lady Camden, leaving Diabetti, Bosco, Georges, and Jasmine together as a team. So, Amon, do you think Willow made the right picks here?
Yep, pretty strong team, I'd say. I think that they did a good job. I think that it flowed as well as it could. I think there was some strategy here, maybe a little favoritism as well. But yeah, pretty good, you know, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I think Willow's group was obviously better at having a conversation and having that line between we're being entertaining, but we're also giving out information. Like, they were better at that portion. And Deja was really a phenomenal moderator for that group as well. But Bosco, in my opinion, was just the most entertaining out of everybody. We had that quick wit, was able to kind of move everybody along. And honestly, good for Bosco for being like, no, I think I want to be the moderator, because she has the stuff. Like, if you are a host of any show, you can be a moderator for sure. And she understood the assignment and she knew exactly how to move the conversation along. And she knew how to do it in a fun and entertaining way. So if I had to go to DragCon, I'd want to go listen to Bosco, because I know that Bosco is going to be funny and entertaining. But the other group overall was much better.
Mm-hmm. I think the strategy of picking people that you just get along with naturally is probably the right call. Because, you know, you could do the strategy where it's like, well, I'm going to be the standout on my team, you know, so I'm going to look better in comparison to other people. Or do you put yourself with a strong group knowing that you as a team will succeed? And I think that Willow made the right call. You know, ultimately, she doesn't walk away with the win here, but at least you are able to feed off, you know, it's the whole yes and of it all, right? Like, because you can yes and with other people, whereas like if you're met with no why, not exactly, you know, the best for coming up with content and being entertaining. So I think ultimately it was definitely the right call. I did definitely feel like the other group was a bit team chaos, and I did feel a little bad for Bosco, but yeah, Bosco really kept it together and was able to sort of handle that group. I was very impressed.
Bosco was able to go, this group is chaotic, so as long as I look good in comparison, then I'm going to win. And she knew how to play that game, for sure. Because there is definitely a way when you know you have the skill set to be like, I'm going to do my best but to help lead this team. But at the end of the day, it's an individual challenge. So she is smart and knows how to toe that line.
Yeah, I did feel like the one thing about Bosco was sometimes things did feel a little bit canned or rehearsed. Amon, and I feel like Amon has feelings. Share with the class, please.
Deja should have won this. Deja should have won this. This was Deja's to win. It was Deja's to lose. Bosco did a great job, but it was just not as cohesive. And if the name of the game, we know the name of the game is to make RuPaul laugh. I think that Deja did that. I think she made RuPaul laugh, and she also did a good job of keeping the conversation going. And there were some pretty, you know, you're sitting next to Angeria, right? Mm-hmm. And I still feel like she came out as the one that she was the Whoopi Goldberg of that panel, right? Like, she corralled them, she moved everything along, she injected humor in there, and it felt free form, it felt free flowing, everything just felt nice. So I don't know if this is an editing issue where they made it seem like Deja did a better job, but to me it just felt like Bosco, yeah, there were a few one-liners in there, but they did seem very rehearsed, which we know that they are, but if you can rehearse and still not seem rehearsed, that's show business. I don't think that Bosco did that. I think the rest of the girls were like kind of all over the place a little bit. not horrible. I still don't think that, like, I still don't think that just because George is, you know, had stumbled by saying, like, not saying toxic masculinity just because Jasmine wasn't as, like, entertaining as the rest. I don't think that that's, like, they need to go home right now. Screw them. Like, everybody did a good job. Everybody did a good job. I just think that Deja clearly won this. And when she didn't, I was like, I sat there in my chair. I was like, you're not going to get a reaction out of me. I'm not playing this game with you today. We know what the producers are doing. You want us to be outraged. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Deja should have won. You know Deja should have won. You know Deja should have won. RuPaul, your ass definitely knows that Deja should have won. And we'll just call it at that, okay? Yeah, robbed her of a win. I don't know why. I guess because you want.
She also had the best runway.
She had the best runway.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Collectively, yes. This was Deja's week. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if it's because they just want Bosco to have another win to oppose Angeria. I don't know. But, like, if you're going to give people wins, give them wins when they deserve the wins. And we still know, like, and it can't even be about, like, people having resumes going into the finale anymore, because we've seen people win the damn show when they don't have as many wins. I mean, Jada Essence Hall just beat Gigi Good's ass, okay? So it can happen. You don't have to have this.
Sasha Velour beat Shay.
Sasha Velour beat Shay's ass. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have this false narrative of these queens needing to have a win in order to win, okay? Yeah. It doesn't need to be this way. The same thing with fucking, what's her face? Forget her name. All-Star 6 winner. Oh my God. But she didn't have the most wins.
And I know. I just wanted a fist bump to that.
I still can't even think of her name. Oh, Sonique. There we go. Sonique. It's just like.
No.
I said I wouldn't want this.
I would like.
Amon, this is the reaction they got to you, Amon. No, Amon, look, Dave,
I want to remind you. Yeah, I just wanted to remind you that you said you weren't going to react to this. It's okay. Because
I got you, gal.
Here's the thing. Like, I also thought Deja easily could have won that. I just felt like even with the things that, like, Bosco came across as canned lines, sure. Deja came across as stiff a few times. Like, I am a very, like, it is my job to be the moderator kind of thing a few times, right? But overall, if you're talking about the challenges, I agree with Amon. If that group had a better flow to it, you have to give that to the moderator. The moderator also did that.
I'm also like a little bit like, did Bosco come across so much better because the rest of her team was trash? I'm just like,
that's what I'm saying. Yes. That's why I think that she's a genius, is because she was like, at the end of the day, she could have done more as a moderator to bring out something else in the other three. But why do that in a competition when you know you are going to shine? And that's going to get you more of the spotlight. That's what I think she did. And that's why I think she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. I feel like I would be, like, if I were RuPaul, I feel like I would see through that and be like, and I'd rather reward someone, maybe, you know, that is maybe a little wooden, but still, like, I still feel like she owned that panel when you have somebody like Angeria and Willow sitting next to you, and Lady Camden for that matter. Lady Camden's no spring chicken, okay? Like, so she's, you know, so I just feel like, I just don't understand.
She's old.
This show sometimes. I just don't understand it. Because there are just blatant losses that occur on this show. And I'm like, is it solely because you want this type of reaction out of your fans? Mm-hmm. It cannot be. And I'm not even going to, let me preface this by saying, I don't think this is like the most egregious thing that we've ever seen on the show. There are plenty of things that like have happened. But it just harkens back to all of that shit for me. So I'm just like, why, RuPaul? Why?
Never forget. Like,
it can't be for ratings. It can't be.
RuPaul Charles is Allison Grodner. I want you all to remember this, that they are the exact same person when it comes to being executive producers. I will leave you with that.
What reality TV is like, and I'm just like too dumb to accept it. Is there like literally like meetings that happen between producers and they're sitting there like, okay, what's going to get like, the biggest, how can we just fuck up one of our contestants real hard. Like, I know that there's like some manipulation and they like, you know, especially on depending on what kind of show you're on, like they want conflict, right? Or like no one watches TV shows for to watch people get along. No one does. But I'm saying in a competition series, that's the conflict. That is the conflict. I don't know why you have to add all of this like injustice to it. Like, why do you have to be at conflict with the audience? Like,
well, because of this, Aman, because of how you feel right now, and that we're talking about it, and that it's dramatic. And also, they already gave Diabetti a win. So who's going to be the underdog queen now? Okay.
If they gave the win to Deja, it would have been amazing because that would have meant Jasmine, who just got saved for no reason again, was the only queen without a win after surviving three times as a lip. Like, there's things inherently right there that have all these power dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's going to be okay.
I just, you know what? I just want to get famous. I want to get famous one day,
yeah,
so that I can have the privilege to sit down with RuPaul and whoever other producers that are a part attached to this show. And it can be off the record. It doesn't have to be a grand interview. I'm not talking anything Oprah style, but I just want to sit down face to face with him and have him explain each and every single one of the decisions that he has made on this show and drag him appropriately for it. Because I feel like it never reaches him. It doesn't reach him. He doesn't care. He laughs all the way to the bank. But I feel like if somebody just sat down and said, RuPaul, you are a menace, and it really got to his soul just one time for the one time, what kind of season could we get? Okay. What kind of season if he came back to the panel one season, season 16, let's say, he comes back to the panel and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna cast as many talented ass queens as I can for this show, and we are gonna judge it as hardcore and as fair as possible. If there are front runners that end up going home because they did shit in a Snatch Game, then so be it. We'll send them out the door. It is what it is, and we'll get a real true queen. If we could just get a season like that, just like I feel like world peace. Like, I just feel like.
You know what would happen, Aman? You know how you have to get this to happen? Is we have to find whoever the inside source is who supplies RuPaul with his coffee enemas and just make sure that is
cut him off.
Stop.
That's the
cut
source.
Him right off. And then we're good. And then we're good.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love your plan, Aman, although I don't know if Rue will remember the decisions that he made. So
you know what? And I will have everything. I got a smooth, crisp Paramount Plus subscription, okay? So I can pull up the footage, okay? Every single thing I'm going to ask him, I will have cited videos, MLA formatted, okay? Ready to go.
Here's the other thing. Make sure you don't talk to Michelle Visage. Because she is brainwashed into believing everything.
You know what? And that's another thing. Michelle Visage's ass, too. Because she will come out and say, you know, she'll voice her opinion sometimes. She'll be like, well, especially, you know, most notably, the All Stars 3 thing. When they, you know, got rid of Shangela because half those hoes were jealous and stank hoes. Okay? Yeah. She said, well, yeah, that was a mistake. So we know that she knows and she's in on this stuff half the time. So I would love that, too. Separate interviews, because I don't need RuPaul saying, you know, trying to talk over her. He does that sometimes.
I can't wait for the special Aman Adwin on What's the Tea with RuPaul and Michelle, where he just berates the crap out of
what? Through getting famous, I'm going to start doing drag, and I'm going to get on this damn show, and I'm going to wait until I can be a guest on that podcast, and I'm just going to rip them to shreds.
The long con.
It'll be an unreleased episode, because they're never going to air it. But I'm
oh, but
sure
here's the thing. You're going to have it recorded in your pocket.
There you go.
And then you're going to release it. This is the long game, and I'm here for it.
I don't care. I can screw the NDAs. I'll set up a GoFundMe.
Well, I would love to be your support team. Whatever you need in this plan, Beth and I are here for you.
Thank you.
I have plenty of makeup that we can start with.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need it.
So, good. Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Aman?
That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Well, look, I will say, if we're to give my two cents on the Deja versus Bosco of it all, I really could have seen it going either way. I felt like Deja's runway may have pushed her over the edge because I felt like she was the person who really got it, who really sort of understood what we were trying to do here with shoulder pads. Because when we talk shoulder pads, yes, there's shoulder pads, but then there's drag shoulder pads. And this was just so dramatic and so fun, her look. I really, really genuinely thought that this was going to be the thing that pushes her over the edge. But unfortunately, it was not. But still a fabulous look.
And you know she made it too, which is going to like, which makes it so much better. Yeah. What made me so frustrated at all of these runways is that there was not a single shoulder pad left besides Deja. It was just shoulder stuff. And it I put a spike on.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a cuff. Those aren't pads. Do you know what shoulder pads are?
Well, like Willow's, there's shoulder pads in there, but they're like little baby shoulder pads. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I get, yes, technically you have.
I would wear that to an interview, that entire outfit. Head to toe.
Including the hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Piercings and everything.
Fabulous.
Did I mention that I literally am a career coach? I should probably not say these things.
More shoulder pads. I need more shoulder pads. And I felt like in comparison, because Deja was the one who really had the shoulder pads, that would give her the edge. Like, I'm even looking at Angeria's right now, and you could make an argument that they are maybe shoulder pads, but not really. They just look like sort of spiky things on your shoulders. Like, I don't know, what would you call those?
Like shoulder
cufflet kind of things? Yeah, exactly. So
shoulder cuff puffs.
Shoulder cuff. Okay, well, Amon, you'll need to get yourself some shoulder cuff puffs if you want to make it to what's
the T1 day. If you're not wearing shoulder cuff puffs, then you're not doing drag.
Duly noted.
So, anyway, maybe Jasmine. I don't know.
Maybe it's only been the past 2 weeks, but I need Angeria to stop wearing black and white.
Somebody was like put together a bunch of her looks and were like comparing her to all of Bob the drag queen.
To be fair, I would want to model after a winner. Same thing. I'd just come out in a whole bunch of Bianca Del Rio boat dresses.
Yeah, honestly. Damn, yeah. She really got away with that.
Boat neck, not boat dresses. Boat neck.
Boat neck. Yeah, boat neck dresses. Yeah,
just really boat dresses. She was a yacht.
Never had to lip sync once. That's crazy.
Not once.
Okay. What else? Is there anything else about the main challenge of the runway that y'all want to talk about?
I do appreciate those challenges because those sort of things, that's where the charisma really comes out for me, because it's not just like some scripted, you know, over the top skit that they have to put on. I do appreciate it when they are sort of have to follow some sort of loose talk show format, because then you get to learn more about the queens and you get to see how they actually are charismatic and how their personality is either, you know, infectious or sort of, you know, a bit of a dud. So I've always enjoyed these. I enjoyed watching it on season 6. I enjoyed watching the other one on season 9 when they were like news anchors. Those were always so fun to me. So and you know, as a podcaster, you know, it's just something that I like to watch other people do, is pretty much do a podcast. So I enjoy these a lot.
I think also if you're thinking transferable skills to what it is like to be a Rue girl after the fact, DragCon is a big deal. And participating in these panels is a thing, right? Why did Rue ask in the walkthrough, hey, have any of you done a panel? And so,
Moment was cringe as fuck. Can we talk about that?
What happened?
Deja's like, my father left me when I was 14. And RuPaul's like, that's so sad. Has anyone here been to DragCon? It was like literally just.
Oh
like
my God. I guess I must have missed that.
Oh, it was like literally word for word. Deja pours her heart out about her father going. And then RuPaul goes, who here has been to DragCon? Like, that is how RuPaul reacted.
He's a menace. He is a menace.
We need you more than ever, Amon. You are the hero that we need.
Oh man.
Like you'll like three seasons ago, you'll be doing like the whole I'm your mama now with plastic tiara, but you can't even like that was an Emmy moment waiting to happen. Like she served it up on a silver platter for you. And you're like,
I'm your
oh,
father
yeah,
now.
I'm your father now. What the fuck? Oh
I think
God.
I think an acid trip from the 80s just like rekindled in his spinal fluid and he was like Oh, yeah. Who's been to DragCon? That's what I'm doing here.
Does RuPaul even go to DragCon? Is he there like for like 2 seconds and then leaves?
Not only does RuPaul go to DragCon, you have to like on top of you have to pay an outrageous amount of money to buy another ticket to stand in line to maybe get a photo with him. And when you get a photo with him, it's like, don't even talk to him. Go up, take a photo and go. I thankfully have never done that, but I did. I was in a VIP lounge where people were complaining about it. They're like, I stood in line for 2.5 hours after I bought a like $150 other ticket on top of my VIP pass to stand in line. And then when I was there, they went, smile, bye. And that was it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's terrible.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And I think that, you know, RuPaul's RuPaul. So they were like, okay, he's been doing it for 5 minutes. Let's take a 4 hour break. Like, it's like that kind of thing. So half the time when you're waiting in lines because he's not even fucking there. He's like, oh, I got to go cut the ribbon. It's like, okay.
Okay. So yeah, then definitely that's out of. So I think Aman, you are going to have to do drag, then get on the show. And then, because obviously, the meet and greet, that's not going to work either. Yeah.
Either that or Aman. If you would be eliminated, which I don't think you would be, I think we all know that you'd be going straight for that crown. And it's
I'd probably be eliminated. Let's be honest. I'd probably be a booger queen. It's fine.
No, you just need a dramatic storyline. That's all you
need. A dramatic storyline. And also, like, make some drama with another person.
Another queen. Yeah.
Especially one that is questionable about if they're going to be in the top or not. That's
sure. Okay, I'll make some drama. I'll make some drama with RuPaul, too. I'm not scared.
Oh, that's what I'm saying is when you go to leave, I don't want some like, thank you for the opportunity. I want you to sit there on the stage and give an exhaustive list of things that were fucked up about the show over 15 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then you leave.
I'll have a whole scroll that just unfurls onto the main stage.
I want Sarge or whatever his name is to pop open his camera phone and just record the crap out of it. And whoever does all the leaks, because I know someone's got to be doing leaks. From that production team. I need that to be like, y'all never going to believe what Aman did.
No, the footage is getting unearthed.
Ooh, what would be your drag name?
Anemone. I've always decided that.
That's cute.
I love that. That's cute. Okay.
Okay. What else? Well, what did you guys think about the topic covering men's is?
I did like it because it's sort of something that's that I've had to sort of struggle with a little bit. So I did think that it was I think a lot of queer people, gay men have issues with masculinity because sometimes it's not something that comes by some of us naturally. For others, it does. But I think it's a fairly common experience that it doesn't come by naturally for a lot of us. So we sort of have to figure out how to sort of come to terms with how masculine or not masculine you are, and then having sort of like an identity crisis of trying to inject it into your personality later in life, because then you're sort of like deemed unattractive to some people conventionally if you're not masculine. So, and then when you wrap all of that up when it comes to like brotherhood or fatherhood or your relationship with your brother or your father, then it really just starts to unpack a whole can of worms for a lot of us. So I thought I would have loved a longer conversation, to be honest. I'm obviously not going to be able to get it on an hour episode, but I could listen to all of these queens sit there and just talk about, honestly, I mean, I don't know if Bob and Monet have done this on Sibling Rivalry already, but you should have an episode, the one about men, because I would listen to that entirely, because it's a topic that I feel like I think a lot about, but don't talk a lot about. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. When the topic was first announced, I was like, wait, what? But then once they started listing what they were actually going to talk about within that, I was like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like I misunderstood initially when it was described. Mm-hmm. And so I was happy with where each group was able to take it. And I think speaking from their personal experiences just really helped to enrich the conversation that they had, people that were able to comment from a lot of different perspectives on these topics. So even though at first I was like, wait, what? Once I got into it and once they started talking about it, oh yeah, okay, great. I get it. That's right. Good. I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm. I always appreciate the intersectionality of different identities talking about toxic masculinity, mm-hmm. or gender, men in general, because I think all of it at the end of the day boils down to all the issues that we have with masculinity and femininity come down to misogyny and white privilege. Like, it's like that intersection, mm-hmm. is the mm-hmm. thing that continuously drives a lot of what we continue to see as quote unquote social norms that are being more and more challenged. And mm-hmm. I appreciated seeing how, you know, everybody has a similar yet very different personalized experience with this. And, you know, as a cis white woman, it's important for me to also hear about, you know, how queer men are navigating their own journey of masculinity and femininity, but also how sometimes they also perpetuate some of that as an issue as well. I will be one of the first people to tell you, I have a lot of gay men friends and cis gay men, and a lot of them are white, and a lot of them are friggin' misogynistic sometimes, and I have to call their ass out about it and go, well, let's talk about that for a sec, shall we?
I have a story from this weekend. I won't share.
Oh, well, when we're done. No, just kidding. But I think that it's an important topic, and I actually really appreciate it. At first, I was like, oh, man. But then I was actually like, yeah. To your point, Liana, once I heard like the different ways in which they were going to talk about it, was not just about relationships with fathers or mm-hmm. just about hookups, but it was about all of these things intertwined in a way that creates this, you know, queer experience. I was like, ooh, that's really interesting. And to also know now that we have so many trans and non-binary and, you know, trans women cast members on this season, even when they were filming it, if they weren't as out and open now as they are, this is such a unique and wonderful perspective to listen to when you know someone is still on their identity journey. So I really liked it. And I thought, to Aman's point earlier, nobody like bombed this challenge. Like mm-hmm. Jasmine, yeah, wasn't as outgoing, but she was trying to listen to critiques and go from there. George's tripping over a few words, like we trip over words all the time on this, you know, that doesn't make or break if right, you're going to do well in a podcast.
It's like just something to edit in there to make you be like, oh, someone's not,
oh my gosh, she didn't know how to say toxic masculinity. It's like, okay.
Which, in case anybody doesn't know, not to say that, like, because I agree with what you just said, but at the same time, in case anybody doesn't know, because the friend that I was watching with didn't know this, Georges is American, right. Okay? Yeah. There is definitely a critique to be had about Latin queens coming on the show and English is not their first language, and you know they mess up in an acting challenge and then they send their asses home. There's definitely a problem with that on this show. It comes to Georges though, he was born in Texas, she's American, and my friend was so upset. She's like, I can't believe that they're about to send her home because she stumbled over a word and English is not her first language. I was like, hold on, she American. And I agree with you on one respect, but like let's talk about the issues like that are actually happening with, you know, Latin queens that are ASL, not Latin queens that are not. So just, I just wanted to put that little tab in there because I think a lot of people are like under the impression that she is like actually, I mean, she is Mexican, but she's not from Mexico. She is born and raised in the States.
I also think a lot of this has to do with someone, you know, who has a different educational background, which of course is going to play into her identities mm-hmm. and such that she's mm-hmm. got. Right. So, mm-hmm. This is, I actually found it a little kind of offensive that they took the moment where she said, what's a moderator, in the edit to make it seem like they were all going to judge her for not knowing what a moderator was. And when they got back, the queens were perfectly fine about it and explained it in a wonderful way to her. And I was like, well, that's like really fucking shitty to do, to make someone appear like they were about to get like bullied and shaded by the other queens for not knowing a word. And like, mm-hmm. all that does is perpetuate when people don't know things that they're going to double down that they think that they know on them. Like, we need to create an environment where people, regardless of whatever your educational background is, feel comfortable asking a question. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't know what something means, just ask it.
It's okay to not know things.
Yeah.
And I know. Anything. Shocking.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I want to make a joke about, well, what was Jasmine's educational background that allowed her to dress like a magician? Because I could not get over all of the reads of the magician outfit. Because honestly, I remember thinking the panel, I was like, that's an odd choice. But then once they started talking about it, I was like, okay, that's really funny. Margaret Thatcher does
that hair. What was she thinking? It's every time she hits this runway, like she comes, like honestly, she is a person gives me like Laganja Estranja, but she comes out Alyssa Edwards on the runway every time with that hair. Like, you know what I mean? Like, except for the runway this week where she wore like the lime green outfit and like the sleek one. I was like, that is what I feel like your energy gives me. But then you turn into like pageant mom. And it's really interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
I mean, it's like what Candy Muse said about Tamisha Iman last season. Like, the talent is there, but the taste level is not there. Like, it's just not there. It's that up to stuff.
All right. So from tops and bottoms, we've already kind of talked about this, the placements, Georges, Jasmine, and Dia all on the bottom, which I think is the right call. That panel was a little bit of a hot mess. Lady Camden and Jiri were safe with Willow, Deja, and Bosco all in the top. We've already gone through the lip sync in depth. I think really the only other thing to touch on is the mini challenge. If there's anything that y'all want to say about that, it's the Snatch the Spotlight mini challenge where they were tasked with photobombing famous men's photos. So I like that it kind of fit with the, you know, the men's discussion. We got the men's photos. Quick drag, always my favorite. I love seeing what queens prioritize. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. And of course, Willow ends up winning, which allows her to pick her team for the main challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I watch with subtitles often. And the amount of times they said men's, and I kept thinking they were saying menzies. Like, yeah. I was like, I have to remind myself. That is a very different thing on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, men.
Tells you where my life was with a bachelorette party weekend.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, menzies. Menzies.
Menzies.
Menzies. Not the menzies. All right. Yeah, Willow wins. I don't know. Anything else to say about that? The only other note I wrote down was Georges is just dancing lol. I don't even know what that means. I don't even remember. But apparently I thought that was important enough to write down.
Oh, when she was doing the mini challenge?
Yeah, apparently.
I think she just was up there dancing and so she didn't pose.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Okay.
It was really deep.
Yes. I thought Nicole Byer was a super fun guest judge. I mean, I love her. I love her podcast. It was really nice to have her come back in Untucked and talk with the girls and for
not
them
Lonnie Love.
The moment. Yeah, just to be clear, not Lonnie Love. Nicole Byer.
No, not them mixing them up. No.
And then in Untucked, we also get Angeria's mom and dad on the TV, which was like kind of like, wait, what? Okay, sure, fine. All very cute, not a lot of drama, especially compared to what we've seen in the past couple weeks. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, next week is Snatch Game. It is finally here. We are finally going to get to talk about it. So I am very, very excited for that. But that does it for season 14 for us. So first, let's give some plugs if you want to hop out now, and then we will be talking about UK versus the world. So Beth, where can people find you on social media? What do you have going on?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on all my social medias, including my Twitch channel. I'm still on My Weekly Meltdown. We're going to be covering Survivor and Big Brother Canada 9. And you can also catch me on Hot Mess Moments, where we're just starting season 3 of Lost and The Nanny.
Okay. And Amon, apart from prepping for Drag Race, what else are you up to and where can people find you on social media?
You can follow me at Amon Adwin everywhere, mainly just covering Big Brother Canada 10 nowadays. Still got my podcast with Matt Liguori over at the Choir Room covering all things Glee.
All right. I did mean Big Brother Canada 10, not 10. 9.
I mean, that would be fun if he went back to cover old seasons.
But like. my draft last year was literally Julie and to Sean, and I was like, I got the first and the last baby. Like, so we'll see.
I guess that works out. Yeah. Well, speaking of drafts, I got to do the Survivor 42 draft with a wonderful group of fellow podcasters. So check that out if you're interested in some more preseason coverage for season 42. I also got together with Mike Bloom and we did preseason coverage for the RHAP B&B, which will be back. We got into a lot of weird silliness. We talked about Survivor NFTs and the merch store and everything in between. I don't know what is in between those two things, but we got to it. And finally, The Masked Singer is coming back. So this week, Puya and I will be getting together to talk about the premiere of The Masked Singer. And of course, Mike and I will be continuing with Survivor coverage for the B&B as well. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Let's talk about UK versus the world, because as I mentioned in the 14 coverage, we are already down to our final four.
We're at the finale.
Yeah, it's the finale. Next week is the finale, apparently. So does that mean that there's only six episodes?
At the time of this recording of this podcast, the finale is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's tomorrow. That's Tuesday.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. They had already said that this was going to be like a really short season. And that makes sense also because the BBC is different or whatever. But I don't know how to feel about this top four. I don't know how to feel about the season. It doesn't sit right with me that Mo doesn't have a win. But I also feel like I want Mo to win. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so we've got Juju, Mo, Baga, and Blue that are all in our top four. Janie was sent home this past week. Amon, what are you feeling?
So look, y'all know from me, I've been coming back every week and being like, so be it. Live by the sword, die by the sword. So like, I am always going to be a big proponent of anybody coming and slaying and doing whatever it is they need to do to win. That's the name of the game. Play the name of the game. So I guess this would be a larger critique as to, was this the proper way to do a international season of Drag Race, the inaugural international season of Drag Race? And perhaps not. Perhaps it shouldn't be about the queens eliminating each other. I know this is All Stars, but maybe you don't need an All Stars format. Maybe you can have like a regular, if you're going to have a first season of international Drag Olympics, then be like the actual Olympics and have a judging panel, not. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, why can't they have hosts from all the different countries come together and be the panel every week?
Would be lovely.
Besides the fact Pangina as the host was also competing this time. But I think it would have been great. Like, even if they didn't have contestants from their respective franchises, right? Like, have someone from España, have somebody from down under. Well, I guess down under, it would have to be the short little guy who's
Reese.
Yes, I think so. But right. Like, have someone like that. Have Brooklyn Heights. Have somebody who's going to be. I mean, Nikki Doll now will be hosting France.
Yeah, can we talk about that real quick? Because I did see a little bit of controversy online. Everybody's giving Nikki Doll grief for getting the gig as the host of the show. Yeah. So that Brooklyn Heights came to her defense saying, well, if anybody is qualified to host or judge, it's someone that actually went through the competition. I'd be like, I don't know if that's the argument that you want to make, because then we could say that Candy Ho should be the main judge of a franchise, or
Drag Race Bronx,
or Soju should be the main host of a I just feel like, I think it's a little bit of valid critique in saying, I don't know if Nikki Doll is the one to and now I don't know about French drag. I don't know what it's like over there, so she's definitely more qualified than I could ever be, but as a flagship drag competition that I'm assuming they would like for it to be, I do understand the critique of being like, I don't know, like, because if it's to get viewership, I understand the business move. I understand it from the business side entirely. But as the main judge. I'm like, whoo, that's a pretty lofty title to have for someone that didn't do that great in the show that she was in. So, and there's still critique about, you know, she's French and she came over to an American show. And of course, she has a lot of hurdles, and I won't discredit any of that at all. That is certainly true. She had a much harder time getting to the end of an American drag show than her American counterparts. I get that. But I'm still like, I don't know, Brooklyn Heights. I think you should just, I understand coming to your queen's, your sister's defense, and no one should be giving grief to Nikki Doll for grabbing a job. It's a job. Right. Like, you gonna say no? Like, no, she's not gonna say no. Of course she's gonna say yes. But I'm just like, I don't know. I get it. Like, it's Nikki Doll. Like,
so here's the thing though. Nikki Doll actually has a really big international following, and we have to remember that these different installments are not for America. They're for those countries. And mm-hmm. so if she has a huge French following, if she understands and networks really well within the French community there, then that's all that should really matter, right? It really shouldn't give a shit what, you know, the American audience felt like she did on the American version of the show.
This is true. Thank you for saying that. That kind of changed my perspective a little bit.
I also felt like she was a little bit overlooked on her season of the show. So, and because she's somebody who has kind of like one, you know, some queens when they're on the show, even if they go out early, but then they start popping up in all these different places. They pop up and work the world. They pop up like doing, because I think she was the one who did like either Rue's makeup or Pete Davidson's makeup for SNL. Like when Rue did that mm-hmm. SNL skit with Pete Davidson. So, you know, like Nikki is one of those queens who has sort of been able to infiltrate, you know, despite maybe not making it as deep on the show, sort of the inner workings and the higher up levels of, you know, the top drag queens, at least in the United States. So I think it's probably a combination of those two things is why, you know, she was being selected.
So I feel like, if Brooklyn Heights had presented that, then I'd be like, oh, well then, yeah, no question. But I guess I just had a bit of a visceral reaction to her being like, well, because we were on the show, then we should be good. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. No, I don't think that that's the case. But I do think that saying, hey, somebody who understands the scene, the culture has been working in a variety of different ways and has also been through the competition to a certain extent. Presenting it like that provides a very different framing of it.
Also, if I'm Brooklyn, I'm 100% defending that decision because if, you know, like she got some shit when she was announced as the host of Drag Race Canada and, you know, like you are going to do what you can because it's not just a defense of Nikki, it's a defense of her position as well. Right. So it's a little selfish from that perspective, but I also totally get it. So,
definitely.
Like,
definitely.
Defend yourself.
And I think, and I think just to sort of like, as I'm thinking through all of it, I think we have to remind ourselves that it's not that they're saying that these are like the international equivalents of RuPaul. Like, it's not like that. Although, like, I mean, it's not like RuPaul is like some top tier drag queen nowadays anyway. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's, you know, this, like, even Brooklyn Heights is not like the main judge in the way that RuPaul is. She is a co-judge amongst a bunch of others. So I'm assuming that it'll probably be something similar with Nikki Doll.
And that's how I think a lot of these different franchises that Rue doesn't host himself are like, is, you know, it's a team of people. It's not like one person who's the be all end all of the judging. And I think that all of us can agree that we wish that with the American version, RuPaul was not the be all end all of half the judging. So how
many is this now? This is America, Canada, Spain, UK. Holland, Thailand, UK,
Brazil, down under.
Now down France, under. Down under.
Are they also making Korea?
If they are, I haven't heard about that. But
or Singapore. Singapore.
So Singapore.
They're making another Asian one, but I can't remember if I think it was Singapore. So but I feel 10. Like there's.
Almost every damn continent except Africa.
I can't wait for Drag Race Antarctica, and it's going to be some fierce-ass penguins.
With you'll have Denali as host, even though she's from Alaska.
Denali. It's snow. It translates.
Whatever. It has to be a scientist, you know? Like, I can't wait for those scientists to just be in. It's going to be great.
It's gonna be so good. Yeah, we all know scientists top tier fashion. Look, this guy with our little lab coats. It's so cute.
Did you guys see who was it? Well, Monet Exchange and Adore Delano, like on the pit stop? Monet was like, did you hear that Vivacious is going to be the host of, I can't remember which country it was, like Drag Race Botswana or something like that.
Drag Race Easter Island, because the heads.
And it was so funny. And like literally, Adore's like, no. And she's like, you're joking. She's like, no, I'm not. It was just announced. And like the crew apparently went along with it. And she's like, oh my God, that's so such funny. A good gig for her. I'm so proud of her. And then Monet's like, yeah, yeah. And Ornacia is also going to be on the panel. And she's like, I fucking hate you. It was so good. It was so good.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I love that.
Not Ornacia.
One day we'll be there.
So yeah, I guess the final four of the world. Yeah.
In order, what are your orders of like who you want to win the most out of the four, who the least?
I guess I'd probably have to go. I think Blue and both Mo I'd be fine with. So same. they're sort of oscillating for me. And then it would have to be Juju and then Bagga. And I know that like Juju is a journey.
It doesn't feel rewarding though. It doesn't feel like that's the ending that we deserve. So for me, like I'm totally with you. It's Blue Mo. The biggest gap, the Marianas Trench of gaps, I guess Juju and then Bagga, because Bagga also would just feel so.
As far as I'm concerned, this is a final two, and both of them are interchangeable. It's just like.
But here's the problem. That's how we feel. You know, RuPaul's like, so proud of my Juju. And Bagga makes me laugh so much.
So proud of my Juju for letting me drag her through another competition.
I honestly think that I would prefer Blue over Mo, which is hard for me to believe because I've been like really rooting for Mo more so. But I think if we want to have a little bit of integrity in terms of winning things, sure, give it to Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Mo, I would be super happy with Mo winning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I would have to say Bagga before Juju. I don't know. I hate the idea of either one of them. I just felt like, I don't know. I guess Juju before Bagga, because I do think that Juju tried, but there was just like Bagga didn't.
But like Bagga's, I don't know. I think it's tough because it's like, well, I think Juju probably should have been sent home, but Bagga also should have been sent home and should have been in the bottom. So like it almost feels more egregious that Bagga was never in the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. She slept during the
I'm looking at the placements now. Juju's is safe, bottom two, bottom two, bottom four, win. And then like I scroll down to Pangina's and it's like win, high, win, eliminated. Jimbo's win, eliminated. Like, oh,
yeah, Amon, how did you feel about Pangina last week? Because you weren't with us.
I was like, look, you're never going to hear me say that. I don't live for when they snipe
the front
runner. Like, take them out. And like, so, I mean, it sucked to see her go. And it was sad that she took it so hard initially. And that pressure of being the judge of a show is like, I just keep thinking about like what RuPaul or what Bob the Drag Queen said. In like a space that he hosted on Twitter like a couple of weeks ago, when he was like, it's going to suck if she goes home, because the next time that she appears on Tyler's Drag Race and she tries to tell somebody to sashay away, I would turn around and say like, bitch, you sashay away. So I get it. But like, it's the name of the game, sis. And like, you had to know that might be coming your way, because you did the same.
She just did it to Jimbo.
Not
like Pangina killed the challenge, but just wasn't in the top two. She was definitely in the bottom two of that challenge.
Right.
Yeah. So, all spare and love and Drag Race.
I thought that it was so shady that they still had her crying. And at the beginning of this episode, they had one of her coins like spinning on the table as if she had just left. I was like, y'all are so shady for that, but I live.
was so funny. It was so, like, I still think of that, the crying over the, and if you can't, love,
yourself,
how the hug, sobbing in the, it's of course my heart breaks for her, but also that's so freaking funny. Like, so funny. Oh my God.
And she's getting so much love too. Like, people, I'm sure her PayPal and her accounts are just skyrocketing because people are just sending her so much love for the egregious manner in which she went home. But it is what it is. You got to play the game. And I hope that this changes the culture of our, like, of the American All-Stars. Like, I want more of this to happen because, look, like, if you're going to keep having all these All-Stars and diluting what it means to be an All-Star, then at least give us a good show. So
give us a game.
Yeah.
Give us a game.
You know, I think that's actually a great point to kind of go back to the decision to go with the All-Stars format, right, where the other queens are responsible for sending the queens home. When it is a more second chance sort of style and there's less Olympics of drag of it all, then I think that makes sense, right? Because we could get some drama. We could get the people, like, the front runners to be sent. Like, that could be exciting when the playing field is a little bit more even and, like, not, you know, it's not like the top tier. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to go with something that is supposed to be like the pinnacle, these are the handpicked top queens from every country that I want to see judged based on the panel. So I think, yes. Okay. I think that cleared it up for me that is my stance on what the elimination format should have been, that I'm still okay with it for All-Stars if it's a second chance. But if it's like top tier, I want to see, you know, even if the judging is rigged, I still, yes, I would rather
also, if it's
that.
top tier, I do actually want to see top tier queens on the show.
Yes.
Because here's the other thing. It's just a bummer that it's UK versus the world, ended up UK versus US in the finals. Like,
yeah, that does feel a little.
It's
boring. It worked out that way because the queens, you know, snapped the necks of the queens that needed to get their necks snapped. But it's still kind of like, ooh, this kind of feels so... This feels so English centric. Like,
I know.
Like, this is so weird.
Like, if I'm picking my top, I probably would have had Jimbo, Pangina, Janie, and Blue, maybe.
I think that would have been my four.
As
maybe,
my top, like,
maybe,
four.
Maybe Mo in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Mo, kind of depending on how things shake out. I could see maybe one of the other, you know, Mo being able to be up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, look. Not my ideal, but it's fine. We're, you know, we're just living life, taking things as they come.
You know, maybe it'll be different. Like, if they, because I imagine they'll probably do this again. So maybe they'll change the host country. So maybe if they do it in America next time, I don't know when they would do it because they already have, that's probably why they didn't do it initially, is because we already have the flagship show, then we have All-Stars. Mm-hmm. But if they do it at some point, maybe, you know, it gets a little bit more eyes on it. And I hate to say it because it's American. It'll get more, you know, funding or whatever the hell. But that's just the reality of the situation. Maybe that will up the ante when it comes to these queens. But then again, now I'm like, I don't know if I wanted to be here because then the American favoritism would just be off the charts. You just know it would, because you would want all of the queens that we know, because we're dumb Americans and don't watch anything else. We want all of them to stay as long as possible. I don't know. It's just
I think it will likely always stay in the UK, considering that they didn't call it International All-Stars, but they called it UK versus blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it's helpful for RuPaul's franchise to have him be the one who is judging it, but also doesn't have to come up with more money to give away to people. Like, I honestly think
that's true.
I think it'll always stay in the UK.
Dollar store repeater badges.
They're spray painted gold this season, Amon. They had to go out and get the spray paint, okay? It's like $12.
But it'll also be interesting. Like, what I would love is a drag race where there is an even amount of queens from each country. Mm. Like, I don't want three from the UK, two from US and Canada, and one from Holland and one from Thailand. Like, that's ridiculous. I want to see, like, one per country or something like that. I think that would make it really interesting. And now that we have 1,500 different, you know, drag races, you could say, okay, we're going to take this one from down under and this from Espana and this one from Brazil and this one from Canada. I mean, like, it would be so much more interesting that way.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Well, we can only hope. We shall see what the future holds. There really is no stopping this drag race train, though. So, you know, I have to imagine that we will get more iterations of this in the future. So hopefully some of our predictions will come true.
Drag Race will never be mainstream. He's such a fucking liar. He is such a liar.
He's like, well, inherently it isn't mainstream. I'm like, you were literally diluting drag. That is what you were doing. When you say drag is inherently not mainstream, yes, to a certain extent, but you were literally the reason why it is diluted into mainstream.
Literally. Well,
here we are. Here we are. Okay. So is there anything else that you guys want to talk about? Otherwise, we will get out of here.
I think that's good? It for me.
Cool. Okay, so you already got to hear our plugs so quickly. You can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. You can find Beth at Augusta. See, look, I'm just like Georges. I messed up my words. Send me home.
Yeah.
No. Double Shantek.
Okay, thank God. You can find Beth at AugustaWind11. You can find Amon at Amon Adwin. Please leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. Go to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace so you can do that. We really, 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 really appreciate it. Also, you know, if you're interested in becoming a patron, I know Rob is going to be dropping some more potentially preseason coverage for Survivor only on the patron thread. There's also a ton of other benefits if you become a patron of RHAP. So if you're interested in knowing more about that, you can go to patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/patreon. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.